First Presidency Message, Tears, Trials, Trust, Testimony, by President Thomas S. Monson, First Counselor in the First Presidency. Have you ever pondered the worth of a human soul? Have you ever wondered concerning the potential that lies within each of us? Early in my service as a member of the Quorum of the Twelve, I was attending a conference in the Monument Park West Stake in Salt Lake City. My companion for the conference was a member of the General Church Welfare Committee, Paul C. Child. President Child was a student of the Scriptures. He had been my stake president when I was an Aaronic priesthood youth. Now we were together as conference visitors. When it was his opportunity to participate, President Child took the Doctrine and Covenants and left the pulpit to stand among the priesthood to whom he was directing his message. He turned to section 18 and began to read, "Remember, the worth of souls is great in the sight of God. And if it so be that you should labor all your days in crying repentance unto this people, and bring, save it be, one soul unto me, how great shall be your joy with him in the kingdom of my Father." President Child then raised his eyes from the Scriptures and asked the question of the priesthood brethren, "What is the worth of a human soul?" He avoided calling on a bishop, stake president, or high counselor for a response. Instead, he selected the president of an elders' quorum, a brother who had been a bit drowsy and had missed the significance of the question. The startled man responded, "Brother Child, could you please repeat the question?" The question was repeated, "What is the worth of a human soul?" I knew President Child's style. I prayed fervently for that quorum president. He remained silent for what seemed like an eternity and then declared, "Brother Child, the worth of a human soul is its capacity to become as God." All present pondered that reply. Brother Child returned to the stand, leaned over to me and said, "A profound reply, a profound reply." He proceeded with his message, but I continued to reflect on that inspired response. To reach, to teach, to touch the precious souls whom our Father has prepared for his message is a monumental task. Success is rarely simple. Generally, it is preceded by tears, trials, trust, and testimony. Think of the magnitude of the Savior's instruction to his apostles. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." The men to whom he gave this instruction were not owners of land, nor did they have the education of the learned. They were simple men, men of faith, men of devotion, men called of God. Paul testified to the Corinthians, "Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." On the American continent, Alma likewise counseled his son Helaman, "I say unto you that by small and simple things are great things brought to pass." Then and now, servants of God, take comfort from the Master's assurance, "I am with you alway." This magnificent promise sustains brethren of the Aaronic priesthood who are called to positions of leadership in the quorums of deacons, teachers, and priests. It encourages them in their preparations to serve in the mission field. It comforts them during those moments of discouragement which come to all. This same assurance motivates and inspires brethren of the Melchizedek priesthood as they lead and direct the work in the wards, the stakes, and the missions. "Wherefore, be not weary in well-doing," said the Lord, "for ye are laying the foundation of a great work, and out of small things proceedeth that which is great. Behold, the Lord requireth the heart and a willing mind." An abiding faith, a constant trust, a fervent desire have always characterized those who serve the Lord with all their hearts. This description typified the early beginnings of missionary work following the restoration of the gospel. As early as April 1830, Phineas Young received a copy of the Book of Mormon from Samuel Smith, brother of the prophet Joseph, and a few months later traveled to Upper Canada. At Kingston, he gave the first known testimony of the restored church beyond the borders of the United States. In 1833, the prophet Joseph Smith, Sidney Rigdon, and Freeman Nickerson traveled to Mount Pleasant, Upper Canada. There they taught, they baptized, they organized a branch of the church. At one time, in June 1835, six of the 12 apostles held a conference in that land. In April 1836, Elder Heber C. Kimball and others entered the home of Parley P. Pratt and, filled with the spirit of prophecy, placed their hands on the head of Brother Pratt and declared, "Thou shalt go to Upper Canada, even to the city of Toronto, and there thou shalt find a people prepared for the fullness of the gospel, and they shall receive thee, and thou shalt organize the church among them. And many shall be brought to the knowledge of the truth and shall be filled with joy. And from the things growing out of this mission shall the fullness of the gospel spread into England and cause a great work to be done in that land." In July 1987, the 150th anniversary of the beginning of the work in England was commenced. We rejoice in the tremendous accomplishments of those early missionaries and those whom the Lord prepared to play such a part in the advancement of this latter-day work. The call to serve has ever characterized the work of the Lord. It rarely comes at a convenient time. It brings humility. It provokes prayer. It inspires commitment. The call came to Kirtland. Revelations followed. The call came to Missouri. Persecution prevailed. The call came to Nauvoo. Prophets died. The call came to the basin of the Great Salt Lake. Hardship beckoned. That long journey, made under such difficult circumstances, was a trial of faith. But faith forged in the furnace of trials and tears is marked by trust and testimony. Only God can count the sacrifice. Only God can measure the sorrow. Only God can know the hearts of those who serve Him, then and now. Lessons from the past can quicken our memories, touch our lives, and direct our actions. We are prompted to pause and remember that divinely given promise. "Wherefore, ye are on the Lord's errand, and whatsoever ye do according to the will of the Lord is the Lord's business." Such a lesson was recounted on a radio and television program many remember with fondness. The program was entitled Death Valley Days. The narrator, known as the Old Ranger, seemed to come right into our living rooms as he would tell tales of the West. On one program, the Old Ranger related how the glass was obtained for the windows of the St. George Tabernacle. The glass was manufactured in the East. Then it was placed on a ship in New York that sailed forth on the long and at times perilous journey around Cape Horn and up to the west coast of America. The precious glass, stored in cartons, was then transported to San Bernardino, California, to await the overland trek to St. George. David Cannon and the brethren in St. George had the duty to go to San Bernardino with their teams and wagons to retrieve the glass, that the tabernacle of the Lord could be completed. One problem, they needed the then astronomical sum of $800 to pay for the glass. They had no money. David Cannon turned to his wife and to his son and asked, "Do you think that we can raise the money that we might obtain the glass for the tabernacle?" His tiny son, David Jr., said, "Daddy, I know we can." He then produced 2 cents of his own money and gave it to his father. Wilhelmina Cannon, David's wife, went through the secret hiding places that all women have in their houses. Her search produced $3.50 in silver. The community was scoured for money, and at length the sum of $200 was accumulated, $600 short of the required amount. David Cannon sighed the sigh of despair of one who had failed, although he had tried his best. The little family was really too weary to sleep and too discouraged to eat, so they prayed. Morning dawned. The teamsters gathered with their wagons and teams, prepared to undertake the long journey to San Bernardino. But they had no $600. Then there came a knock at the door, and Peter Nielsen from the nearby community of Washington entered the house. He said to David Cannon, "Brother David, I have had a persistent dream that I should bring the money I have saved to expand my house, bring it to you, that you would have a purpose for it." While all of the men gathered around the table, including little David Jr., Peter Nielsen took out a red bandana and dropped gold pieces one by one upon the table. When David Cannon counted the gold pieces, they totaled $600, the exact amount needed to obtain the glass. Within an hour, the men waved goodbye and with their team set forth on their journey to San Bernardino to retrieve the glass for the St. George Tabernacle. When that true story was told over Death Valley Days, David Cannon, Jr. was then 87 years of age. He listened to the story with rapt attention. I believe that in his mind he once again heard those gold pieces, one by one, dropping upon the table, as astonished men saw with their very eyes the answer to their prayers. Tabernacles and temples are built with more than stone and mortar, wood and glass. Particularly is this true when we speak of the temple described by the Apostle Paul. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Such temples are built with faith and fasting. They are built with service and sacrifice. They are built with trials and testimonies. If any brother or sister feels unprepared, even incapable of responding to a call to serve, to sacrifice, to bless the lives of others, remember this truth. Whom God calls, God qualifies. He who notes the sparrow's fall will not abandon the servant's need. May we all respond affirmatively to the prophet Joseph, who urged, "Brethren, shall we not go on in so great a cause? Go forward and not backward. Courage, brethren, and on to the victory." Gospel topics: service, teaching, testimony, trials. Ideas for home teachers: some points of emphasis. You may wish to make these points in your home teaching discussions. 1. To reach those whom our Father has prepared for His message is sometimes a monumental task. 2. The call to serve in this work requires prayer and commitment. 3. An abiding faith, constant trust, and a fervent desire characterize those who serve the Lord with all their hearts. 4. Faith forged in the furnace of trials and tears is marked by trust in the Lord and testimony. 5. Whom God calls, God qualifies to accomplish His errand. Discussion helps. 1. Relate your feelings about faith and trust in the Lord while in His service for others. 2. Are there some scriptures or quotations in this article that the family might read aloud and discuss? 3. Would this discussion be better after a pre-visit chat with the head of the house? Is there a message from the bishop or quorum leader?